All right. All right, let's get started. First Thessalonians chapter number 3. I got to be on good behavior. The preacher's here, so I'm not going to be diving off the platform or anything like that. All right. First Thessalonians, what an honor to be back here. You listened so well yesterday. You responded tremendously. I was very humbled by the way you responded during the invitation. And you listened so good. I know you're tired. Many of you work at night, go to school. And thank you for listening so well. Say to the pastor, what a privilege to be here. Preach last night. Appreciate the room. All the goodies, the brownies were a special touch. The manna came down. That was brownies. It's in the Greek or the Hebrew, one of those. But it's, I love brownies and appreciate the fan. I don't know if the preacher knows it yet, but they bought me a $500 fan. I'm just kidding. I sucked their hair out of the room there, buddy. Do appreciate this fan. Appreciate Brother Ray Young taking so very good care of me. You've been very gracious. Very, very good. Thank you so much. I'm going to preach a burden that is on my heart. So I hope that you'll listen. If you don't mind, I know you just sat down, but why don't we stand again? And it makes me just a little bit, helps me. And I'm going to do a little bit of reading here if you just follow along. And 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. I'm excited about the spirit. It's in the college. It was tremendous yesterday. Very good spirit in the church and here at the college. I'm excited of what God is doing and going to do. And what a great crowd here this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'll begin reading in verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timotheus, our brother, a minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Paul, in his second missionary journey, had established the church at Thessalonica. He had a lot of resistance there. He had had some Jews saved, a lot of Gentiles. He had left. He was just so curious about how they were doing and what was going on. So he had sent Timothy there to kind of check out the situation and how they were doing in the faith. And so Timothy had come back and reported to Paul how they were doing. And now he's writing them the letter. Look at verse 3. He said, no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy of your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Our Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the privilege to be back here this morning. Thank you for these young people. Lord, I'm glad that, Lord, they've made it to this point in their life. And, Lord, I pray that you would bless them. Lord, I know many of them are tired. I pray that you would refresh them. God, maybe even something supernatural for the next few moments that would help them to hear what I believe that you want them to hear from the truth of thy word. Pray that you continue to bless the staff, those that sacrifice and labor here. God, you continue to meet every need. We love you. Thank you for loving us first. Pray you meet with us. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, we do pray and ask it all. Amen. You be seated. Appreciate your patience. So Paul is writing to those that had gotten saved there in Thessalonica. He had sent Timothy. Timothy had come back and had reported to Paul the apostle. Notice what he says in verse 7. He says, "Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith." Notice carefully, verse number 8. He says, "For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord." Very interesting words. Quickly, notice he says, "For now we live." Now, what Paul is not saying to the church at Thessalonica that, you know, if you're not continuing serving God, then I'm going to drop dead, okay? So we know he's not saying that. But he says, "For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord." I believe what Paul is saying here when he says, "For now we live," stay with me, "For now we live," Paul is saying, "When I heard how you're doing, boy, it gave me comfort. When I heard how you were doing, boy, it gave me zeal. When I heard how you were doing, man, it gave me encouragement. When I heard how you were doing, it gave me desire. When I heard how you were doing, boy, it gave me hope. When I heard how you were doing, it gave me joy." I believe what Paul was saying was this. When he says, "For now we live," he is saying, because how good Timothy has told me how good y'all are doing, he says, "I want to go on. For now we live," and then he says, "if ye stand fast in the Lord." In other words, he's saying this, because you are making it, because you're doing so well, you're growing, and man, I'm hearing this, because you are making it, you're helping me make it. So I want to preach on that subject. I can make it because you're making it. I can make it because you're making it. Let me say, first of all, this morning, somebody needs you to make it. Somebody, somewhere, needs for you to make it. You know, a wife needs her husband. When I say to make it, I mean to go on serving God. When Paul says, "For now we live," he's saying, because how well you're doing, man, you're helping me to keep going for the Lord. Hey, a wife needs for her husband to make it. A husband needs for his wife to make it. Hey, a parent, listen to me, a parent back at home needs a son or daughter to make it. See, when they hear how good you're doing in school and how you have a good spirit and you're not getting in trouble and you're working hard and you're reading your Bible and you're praying and they talk to you on the phone and they hear the excitement in your voice, you have no idea what that does to your mom and dad. Man, they love you. They've sacrificed. They prayed. And man, now here you are. You've made it to this stage. And when they hear how good you're doing, it helps mom and dad to make it. You have a preacher back at home. And my friend, when that preacher hears how good that you're doing, and he's got all of these burdens, as Paul said there in verse 7, "Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith." Paul is saying, man, when I hear how good you're doing and I'm going through all these troubles and all of these afflictions and man, the devil's attacking me and the devil's working on me back at home. You got a preacher and my friend, the devil's fighting him and the devil's fighting your mom and dad and they're, my friend, having a hard time and sometimes they get discouraged, but when they hear how good you're doing, boy, you help your mom and dad. Boy, you help your preacher. My friend, because you make it, you help your preacher make it. My friend, there's some staff here in this room. And my friend, the staff sacrifices. And man, some of them no doubt do without. And they make great sacrifice for the work of God. But when they see you come as a freshman and a sophomore and a junior and then a senior, and they see you graduate and you go out like this pastor and take a church and God begins to bless and grow. And those that labored here and sacrificed here, buddy, I'm sure it does something something for this man and that man. When they see you make it, you help them make it. You have a student body here. Or you listen to me, crowd, say to the staff, my friend, when the student body, you hang in and you keep going, and though you have burdens and you have heartaches, and the student body has no idea of the burden and the heartache that you're toting day by day. And my friend, listen, young people, when you make it, you help the student, you help the staff make it, and when the staff makes it, they help the student body make it. There's a lost world out there. People dying and going to hell. And you know what? The lost needs for the Christian to make it. Hey, bus captain, you have a lost little kid on your bus route, and maybe a lost mama and a daddy. And my friend, listen, they need that bus route, that those children, that mom and dad, they need for you to make it. And you have a Sunday school teacher that's sitting in the room, and you got some students in your class. Sunday school teacher, those students you have, they need for you to make it. I'm simply saying, young people, you got a mom and dad that need for you to make it. Hey, by the way, some of you got a little brother or sister, and you got a little brother or sister at home, and they're trying to decide what they're going to do with their life, and they're trying to decide which way they're going to go, and they're struggling with the world, and they're struggling with sin, but you're here at the college, and God has done a work in your heart, and you go back home, my friend, for Christmas, over the Christmas break, and they see how excited you are, and they see what God has done in your life. You help your little brother, and you help your little sister. You got a little brother, little sister at home that needs for you to make it. Are you still with me? Young people, some of you come from a youth group, and maybe it's a small youth group or a large group, a youth group, and you know some of them, they're not really on fire for God, and some of them, they're not really interested about serving God. But when you go back home, and you're not like you used to be, and your attitude has changed, and God has done something in your heart, and you go back home over the Christmas break, listen to me, you help the whole youth department make it. There's a youth department back at home that needs for you to make it. There's a little brother or sister back at home that need for you to make it. There's a dead mom back at home that need for you to make it. There's some kids in your class that need for you to make it. There's some kids that ride your bus route that need for you to make it. There's a lost world dying and going to hell that needs for us to make it. There's a student body that needs for you to make it, staff. And say to the staff that they need the body of those that are here this morning that are saved. They need for you to make it. May I say number two, some people may not make it if you don't make it. Some people may not make it if you don't make it. I don't have the time to tell all those stories. I got a knock on my door one afternoon, probably about 6 o'clock in the evening. I went to the door, it was my niece. My niece said, Uncle Dan, can I see you for a moment? I said, absolutely. She came inside and sat down on the couch and she said, you know, Mama's dying with cancer. This is my brother's wife. Said, you know, Mama, I said, yeah, I know. And, of course, I visit her several times. And she said, you know, Uncle Dan, Mama's scared about dying. Mama's not sure. And I've witnessed to her several times. She said, Uncle Dan, I think Mama's ready to get saved. She wants you to come talk to her. Would you go to, of course, but I go talk to her, sure. That's what I live for. And so I went over and saw my sister-in-law, led her to Christ. She got saved, and probably 6 months later, she died. I preached the funeral. You know, I'm glad when my niece knocked on the door. I'm glad I was still serving God. I'm glad I was still preaching. I'm glad I was still trying to do that which is right. I couldn't imagine if my niece would have knocked on the door and I would have answered the door and said, I'm no longer a preacher. I no longer believe that stuff, and slammed the door in her face. I would have a sister-in-law right now that would be burning in hell. I'm simply saying, my friend, there may be somebody not make it if you don't make it. Oh, nearly 30 years ago, I'll tell you another quick story. I went to work with the city of Gulfport, and while I was there, and we was doing some work, and there was a particular fellow that worked with us, and this fellow was lost, and, you know, I'm going to try to witness to him, and I can't tell you even close to all what he began to tell me, but I had never been cussed that bad in all of my life. I mean, he began to cuss me up one side and down another. He told me what I could do with the Bible. I mean, he lit into me. Boy, he let me have it. Are y'all still with me? Well, I just worked there a few years, and I wound up going full-time in the ministry, and I worked, you know, that job, and when I started the church, and at the same time, but after a few years, I went full-time. And several years had went by, one of my men in the church who still worked there came to me and said, have you heard? John L. John L. has brain cancer. John L. is dying. Would you mind going and seeing John L.? You want me to go see John L.? Do you understand the last time I tried to witness to him how he cussed me up one side and down another? I said, I'll go try, but I can't. I don't have no idea how to go, but I'll give it a shot. I went to Memorial Hospital, third floor, got off, take a left, you take another left, you go down the hall. He was about the fourth room on the left. Man, my heart was pounding. I was scared. And so I went to the door there, and the door was kind of cracked about halfway. And I kind of looked around the door, went to knock on it, and he saw me. He was actually sitting up. He was sitting on the couch. And he saw me. He said, Dan, that you? Come on in. I thought, that's a good start. And so I went over there and sat down beside him. And we just did small talk, you know, how you been doing and all of that stuff. I said, well, John L., I understand that you have brain cancer. He said, yeah, they gave me just a few months to live. I said, John L., where are you going to go when you die? And he looked at me and said, Dan, you know where I'm going. He said, I'm going straight to where the devil is. He said, that's exactly where I'm going. I said, John L., is that where you want to go? He said, no, I don't want to go there. I said, John L., could I take the Bible and show you how you can know you're going to heaven? He said, sure, go ahead. So I was sitting there beside him and took the Bible and began to go through the plan of salvation. And as I went through the plan of salvation, I said, John L., would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? He said, boy, I sure would. He bowed his head and received Christ as his Savior. And he did something I never seen anybody do. After he got saved, brother, would you come? Could I borrow you? After he got saved, he stood up. And he put his hands on me like this. And he shook me like this. Dan, I'm fixing to do something to you that's what he said, that I've never done to another man. I'm thinking he's probably done everything but murder, and he's fixing to kill.
Don't kiss me.
I won't kiss you. Your hair is way too short, son. And plus, you're ugly. Okay. He said, Dan, he said, I love you. And he did this. And then he went back real quick. You'd have to know this guy, how rough and mean he was. He gave me a big bear hug, and he looked at me. He said, tears running down his face. He said, I love you. Thank you. I went to Papua New Guinea. I got back from Papua New Guinea. I went straight, landed in New Orleans, drove home, got in my car, drove straight to the hospital. I got there, he was in a coma. It was a few days later, he died. I preached the funeral. After the funeral, I was walking away from the graveside, and somebody said, hey, preacher. I stopped, a man walked up to me. He said, I just want to say something to you. He said, I don't know what you did to John L., but something happened to him. I'm glad when that man in my church said, preacher, would you go to the hospital? Would you go see John L.? I'm glad. I'm glad I was still serving God. I'm glad I was still in the ministry. I'm glad I was still trying to do right. Why? Because, my friend, if I wouldn't have made it and tried to stay with God, John L. right now may be in hell, burning for all eternity. I'm saying, young people, you got to listen. If you don't make it, somebody else may not make it. Oh, I could go on and on and on and on with the illustrations. I said, number one, somebody needs you to make it. Number two, somebody may not make it if you don't make it. Number three, you know, some people don't want you to make it. You know, the devil, you remember what Jesus said to Peter? He said, Satan had desired that he may sift you as water. Now, I don't know if you understand this, but the devil is walking about seeking who may devour. The devil, are you listening? The devil does not want you to make it. You know, this world don't want you to make it. You know, your flesh doesn't even want you to make it. You know, there's a crowd out there. I call it a jealous crowd. Hey, my friend, they don't want you to make it. But can I say, number four, there are a lot of folks who do want you to make it. The Savior wants you to make it. He said, Peter, but I prayed for thee that your faith fail not. The Bible says he ever liveth, maketh intercession for us. May I say again, you got parents who love you and grandparents. I have 9 children like your pastor. I love my children like he loves his children and like your mom and dad love you. And your mom and dad right now may be on their knees praying that God would do a work in your heart. They want you to make it. You have a pastor back at home who wants you to make it. You have a staff here that wants you to make it. You have a pastor, Brother Wilkerson, wants you to make it. Brother Young wants you to make it. Brother Cowan and many others are here. You got a whole lot of people who are pulling for you. And you got a lot of people that love you, who have invested in you. And my friend, listen to me. We need desperately, if there's ever been a time in America, that we need young people like you to stay with it and get involved. It's today. I could give you 1,000. There's many reasons why we need to make it. First of all, Jesus made it. You know, I'm glad the Bible says in John 19 and verse number 30, I love this. Are you with me? I'm glad the Bible says Jesus said these 3 words. He said 7 different statements on the cross, but he said these. He said, it is finished. Jesus said, it is finished. I'm glad, my friend, that he didn't get halfway to Calvary and decided to throw in the towel. I'm glad, my friend, he prayed in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm glad he went all the way to Calvary. I'm glad he went all the way to the tomb. But I've got good news. I'm glad he rose again. But my friend, it ain't over yet. By the way, he's a coming back. And I say to you this morning, my friend, I am glad that Jesus made it. My friend, if he wouldn't have made it, we'd all be headed to a place called hell. Many before you have made it. You say, well, preacher, there's a lot of them that haven't made it. Brother Cowan, how long have you been here? How long? 40 years. 40 years. Brother Young, how long have you been here? 43 years. Can I just say this? I'm glad that these folks have made it. Now, I know it's not all over, and I know their life is not finished, but you don't know what it does for me to see him and others still here and serving God and have a good spirit and a good attitude. I am glad that they've made it. Because they made it, you ought to make it. You know why you ought to make it? Because there's some folks coming behind you. Yes, we're going to have a graduating class, and yes, we're going to have some seniors, but there's going to be others come. My friend, you ought to make it because who's coming behind you? Yes, sir. There's many reasons. Hey, there's a hell. There's a heaven. There's lost sinners. Now, I'm excited a little bit. I hope I can say that. I got a little excited when Trump won. This may not be independent Baptist. We didn't have a whole lot of choice, folks. It's Trump or Hillary. But let me say this. Because Trump won doesn't mean we got revival. The answer to America is sitting in this room. And it's not in the White House. It's not Republican or Democrat. My friend, America, America needs you more than it's ever needed you. America's going to hell. Our independent Baptist churches by large are not all what they used to be, but thank God for many that are doing good, but some are doing bad. If there's ever been a time that we needed young people like you, is today. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to give you 18 points. I'm kidding. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. I'll just see if he's listening. I told you Romans. Just see if he's listening. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Now, I'm going to give you some things that will help you to make it. You ready? Go to Hebrews chapter 12. If you look at Hebrews chapter 12, the chapter before it's chapter 11. Chapter 11, the theme is faith. Young people, if you're going to make it, you're going to have to run by faith. You're going to just simply have to trust God. You're going to have to trust the Lord. Number two, look at chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Number two, remember somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. Whether it's the folks in heaven, folks that you work with, your friends, somebody's watching you. Look, there's a great crowd of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight. Some of you, I tried to deal with it yesterday, but some of you maybe you have something in your life. It's not a sin, but it's a weight. It could be a boyfriend, a girlfriend. It may not be a sin, but it's a weight, and it's hindering you. The Bible says, lay aside every weight in the sin, which is so easily beset us. I appreciate many of you that responded with the message about the rock and Lazarus needed reviving. But it could be that you came down because everybody else was coming down, but you still have that sin in your life, and you really didn't deal with it. Let me encourage you to deal with it. If you're going to make it, you got to deal with sin in your life. Now look what he said, let us lay aside every weight in the sin which is so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. This is not a sprint, young people. You got to be patient. You'll graduate. You'll get done with school. You'll get married. You got to be patient in the Christian life. And then it says, look at verse 2, looking unto Jesus. I've heard it preached and said, but I never understood it. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eye on Jesus. Somebody would have came up and said, well, how do you do that? I said, I don't know, but keep your eye on Jesus. You know how you keep your eye on Jesus? The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word was God. Hey, stay in this book, young people. You can see Jesus on every page. Jesus is the theme of every book. Stay in this book. And then look at it now. Look at verse 3. For consider him that endures such contradiction. The word consider means to stop, fix your mind upon. When you consider something, consider him that endured such contradiction. That means opposition of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Master song leader to come, would you get us a song? The old rugged cross. Can you find that? Can y'all find that in your hymn book really, really quick? The old rugged cross? Just the old rugged cross? Well, forget that. You don't need it. Just he can lead us one verse. One verse. Would you lead us one verse? Old rugged cross. Just one verse. One verse. Sing it with him when he starts.
Far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain.
The Bible says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. When you start singing songs like that, you start thinking about Jesus. I've never seen a bad spirit when that song was sung. It always becomes a sweet spirit. You know why? Because we're thinking about Jesus. If you're going to make it, you listen to it, you got to remember what Jesus did for you. We need for you to make it. Paul said, for now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, because I hear how good you're doing, you're helping me. Yeah. Young people, somebody needs for you to make it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.